Hey everybody, it's Balake.
And this is Drew.
And you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Welcome to episode 124.
124.
It's like just yesterday we did episode 100.
That's bonkers.
That's crazy how time flies, isn't it? So we got a pretty cool game for you this week, or we think it's cool. We think as I played it a long time ago, so I have a hard time remembering everything, but I remember enjoying it quite a bit. But before we get into that, I'm gonna blast through the social media stuff so you can know where to find us and come watch us on things. You can find us on all the social media platforms just by searching the podcast name. We know it's long, but you're supposed to enjoy that.
We think it's funny.
Yeah. There you can keep track of the comings and goings of the podcast, but most importantly, we want people to come to our Twitch streams with our cousin slash podcast editor, Brian. We are coming up on what we think one to maybe two sessions wrapping up Dark Souls 2, the final, we're in the final DLC. We're hoping one more session, and we're going to move on to another game. I guess if we're so close to the end now we can go ahead and talk about Blake kind of was interested in trying that Capcom game on Game Pass called Exo Primal. So Exo Primal will be the next thing we're going to, you know, dip our toes into. We don't really know anything about it besides you have guns and there's dinosaurs.
And it's co-op.
That's the important thing. So we'll be looking into trying that, and hopefully it pans out. I don't know how popular or good the game is, but it doesn't really matter to us as long as we're having fun. And it's a drastic change from a Souls lead. We tried to try to play something completely different than what we were playing before as best we can. So we usually get in once a week. The day sometimes changes, but we're mostly on Wednesdays. But you can follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/twosmokingcontrollers to get notified when we go live and come hang out and talk about games. We will mention at the end of this episode, I'll say it now, but again, our next episode is going to be episode with Brian for the podcast, where we talk about, it's a co-op endeavors episode coming for episode 125. So just, you know, if you hang out and watch the videos and hang out with us, you can be a part of that as well. And lastly, we have a store and a Patreon page. Both of those things are just to support the cost, you know, of maintaining the podcast. We don't really sell a lot of stuff or have a lot of Patreon people, but that's what it's there for. If you want to be a part of stuff or wear our cool Devious Pixel art on a shirt, I think it's awesome. We get copies of all the different shirts and stuff. So, and the Patreon page, you get the episodes a week early, unedited. If you don't like Brian's edit, you can get on Patreon. You can pay money to not listen to Brian's edit. I'm not sure why you would do that, but you can. Well, that's a way to sell a Patreon thing.
He does a lot
of
stuff.
The problem is the point is getting the episode early, and if you have it early, then you can contribute to the naming of the episode before it comes out. We'd like some help doing that. That's hard to do. That's probably one of the hardest things to do is we sit here and try to suffer over trying to make some sort of name for the podcast besides just the name of the game.
We've only ever knocked it out of the park like one or two times anyway.
Yeah, we won. Only one or
the
two.
The best one ever, though, was Death Stranding.
Yeah.
And I
could size the package. It's how you deliver it.
Exactly.
See, I still remember that one.
That's fantastic. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. So help us name the episode. We get on our Patreon. Links to all this stuff can be found in the show notes. If you don't want to type out our long name on all your social media or any other place, just, you know, hit show more on your phone, because I know you're on your phone, and just scroll down and hit the little links and follow us and come. But, you know, come to the Twitch streams. That's where we're having the most fun. And the podcast is fun too, I guess, sometimes. So that's all I got. So we'll pass it over to Blake so he can start telling us about this developer of this game. Oh, and the game itself, I guess I should say.
The game that we'll be talking about is, if you listened to the last episode, if you didn't, thank you for joining us for the first time. The game we're talking about is called Opus, Echo of Starsong, Full Bloom Edition.
Thank you.
Now, Echo of Star Song originally came out on Mac and Windows back in September 1st of 2021. It has since, with the full Bloom edition, come out on the Switch, Xbox, and the iOS. And it is published and developed by a Taiwanese company called Sigono. S-I-G-O-N-O. Sigono. It is 15 people, and the company came... Sorry, my brain's broken for a second. The company came to be in around 2013, in like the middle of 2013, but with two fellas, Brian Lee and Scott Chin. They are the two founding members. And so it's kind of cool. They were how the whole company kind of came to be is in 2013 when they made their company part of their college course. They were at the Carnegie Mellon University, and they actually sold a Kinect game concept. They sold the concept, they didn't do any work. They just sold the concept of the game, and they used that money to start up their studio.
It's nothing ever came of that concept because Kinect didn't last.
Unfortunately, yeah.
No matter then, they got the money.
Yeah, but with that money, they began experimenting with different prototypes and genres and stuff like that. And a lot of those are featured on the iOS App Store. But in 2015, they actually got, they felt they were more comfortable and wanted to try to make an actual game. And they grew their team up like one or two people. The first thing they ever put out was actually called Prologue. Rocket of Whispers, and that serves as like a chapter. It's like one of those like two hour long little visual novel things. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, "Oh, we love it. We got the idea. People seem to be enjoying it. So let's do this other thing." Less than a year later, they put out their first full game, and that's when they adopted the Opus name. So all of their games are Opus, the Opus series. They've done five games. And all of them are Opus-related in the same universe. So they would go on to do Opus, The Day We Found Earth. And then in 2015 was, Rocket. And then 2016 was The Day We Found Earth. Mm-hmm. And then I think 2018 was they went back to the Rocket of Memories and fully expanded it into a full feature-length game. And that was the Opus Rocket of Whispers. And then this one is the fourth game in the franchise. But it's not like connected with characters. It's connected with lore. And I'm sure some of the locations we visited with like the one or two sentence.
Surely it was Easter eggs or something.
Exactly. But they were lost on us since this was our first four-way.
This was the first one to hit consoles. So.
This is the first one to hit Xbox.
No. All the other ones were on Switch and stuff.
All the other ones are on Switch and Mac and iOS and Steam and stuff like that. None of them have hit PlayStation for some reason. I don't know what their beef is with PlayStation. And then, the crazy thing between Rockets and Memories and Echoes of Star Song, it was a 3-year development cycle, which is their longest development cycle. And you can tell the difference between, once you go back and look at the old ones to now, like the graphical enhancements and stuff like that. And then they're working on another one right now called Opus Prism Peak. And that one, the graphical difference between Echo Star Song and that one, I watched a trailer for it. It looks insane. So I'm hoping that, you know, that one will come to console and I'll give that one a whirl too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just weird that this is the only one that's made it. With it being as successful as I think it is, because they're still, you know, they're making putting them out.
If they weren't successful, they wouldn't have five or six of them.
Exactly. So I don't know why the other ones haven't made it to console. But if they put out some sort of like collection that was like some of them, it's like the Opus collection. It was like all the games together or something. I'd get behind that. Let's make sure I covered everything. Well, is it also like talking about how successful like they are. I have the their downloads right here. Give me just a moment. All right. Since launch, the Opus has always had like a unconventional form of storytelling. Each one follows a different genre of storytelling, so they're all differently presented. But the very first one, not Rocket, but I guess between Rocket and The Day We Found Earth, because the whole thing was like less than a year apart, mm-hmm. was 3 million copies downloaded, or 3 million downloads.
It's a lot.
Yeah,
for an indie developer.
Mm-hmm. And then. Let's see here, following the success, so in 2017 for the Rocket of Whispers Opus, it also reached 1 million in the first week that it came out of.
That's weird. Something like that should be, games like that should be talked about more. People should be like trying to get, should be like making gaming headlines and stuff like that.
You think, but I think because these ones were focused primarily on like mobiles, people are like, man, it's a mobile game, whatever. But it's good storytelling. And that was actually between Google Play and the App Store. It was 1 million downloads within the first week, which is kind of bonkers. And then in 2018, including everything, 2018 all the way, so their first three games was a total of 9.5 million downloads, which is crazy for...
That's a whole lot.
That's a whole lot, yeah.
That's just on phones, though? Because you say people with ignore phone stuff.
Exactly, unfortunately. That's just how the way goes. The cool thing, too, is each game has its own beautiful soundtrack. And you can buy the soundtracks from their store on their website. And just based off the music on this one, it is like a hauntingly ethereal music on this one.
Yeah.
I'm assuming maybe the other ones might be a little better.
It has a similar sound. I mean, you'd think if a franchise would have a similar sound, like you Final Fantasy games, sound like Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
It says all their stuff was just, like I said, like they call it like beautiful. It's not really all there is to it. And for Echo of Star Song, it was genuinely like incredibly well received. Like scoring, I think right here it's got like a Metacritic score of 90, and then on Steam it's a 97% for the people that play. It's been
the game.
The game has been generally
nobody's talked about this game.
Very well received.
And there's not a single post or review or anything anywhere. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We found it because it was on Game Pass. It was leaving Game Pass, so you know
we didn't do it on mobile or anything like that.
Yeah, it was like that's our like. Jump on the someone is leaving Game Pass situation.
And so like, I will definitely play, based off the, you know, this single experience, though, I will play the next one.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it comes to
Xbox. I might look backwards and try to play the other ones on the PC if I can.
You should be able to find them. It's relatively cheap. And I always like to do this whenever I find it. The company is hiring on three separate positions. Mm-hmm. However, it was written in kanji. And it didn't have the option to Google Translate to English. So I'm not sure what the positions are, but they are hiring on three separate positions.
I thought they were...
In Taiwan?
Oh, yeah. You said Taiwan, yeah.
Yeah, they're Taiwanese. So maybe it's a different... Maybe kanji is not the correct word. Maybe it's calligraphy. I don't know. But it was in their symbols.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sound ill-educated and dumb. But whatever. Maybe it's called kanji. Maybe it's called something else. But yes, so I think that's always cool, and I like spreading the love and showing, you know. So hey, if I can help somebody get their dream job, I think I've done my job properly. Now the only thing that's irksome that I couldn't
Hoken?
It's called Hoken, not kanji. I guess Japanese.
The writing system for Taiwanese Hoken is a variety of Chinese,
Mandarin, simplified Chinese, and okay. So I am racist.
We learned something new. I could be saying it wrong, too. H-O-O-K-K-I-E-N. Hoken. Hoken. That's cool, though.
Well, H-O-O would be like hook. Or hook. Hoken. Whatever.
Sorry. Better than saying the other wrong, wrong thing.
Yeah, at least mispronouncing the correct word is always better than saying something, the complete wrongness. I would assume you'd get credit for that. Now, as I just spoke about the beautiful music and the ethereal music and stuff like that, I could not find a composer. Which really upsets me. I was hoping to give credit where that credit was due, but I couldn't find one. I'm sure I was Googling the wrong thing or something like that, but I couldn't find one on like Wikipedia, and sometimes you can go to IMDb and get lucky, and I couldn't find a composer, which I wanted to shout them out, but I couldn't. It upsets me. Okay, with that, I kind of like covered, I think that covers everything I have for the company.
Yeah, new game on the way.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll speak about these fellas real quick. The Brian Lee, he was the director for this one, for the Opus of Star Song. I'm assuming he's the director for all of them since he's the founder. But according to his IMDb, he only directed this one and the Opus version of Rockets of Whispers. But he also wrote this one. And the other writer was a gentleman named Ralph Wang. He wrote this one as well as the Day We Found Earth. Their first major one, or full length, or whatever you want to call it. All right. So with that being said, with the company, it's time to dive into the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spoken a lot about how like it's like, oh, gorgeous storytelling, this, that, and the other. I don't know if I said it. I don't think I did. But this is a genre of Drew and I don't usually play, but I tend to when they're good, I enjoy them. I've turned a lot on, and then
this isn't, well, you say it's because it's a side scrolling kind of game. There's more to it than that. The side scrolling parts aren't even really that complicated.
Well, I just meant the fact that it was a visual novel.
It says more gameplay than other visual novels we've played.
True, but I mean, it's a visual novel, basically, majority. Yeah.
And you should say it's not, isn't it voice acted, but not in English?
I do want to talk about that. That was part of the Full Bloom edition.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I got to pull the thing up so I say it right. But the Full Bloom edition came with, it says with enhancements. I don't know if that includes like loading screens and maybe some bug issue fixes. Because I couldn't find the full detail breakdown of what the Full Bloom edition did, but the Full Bloom edition came with full Japanese voice acting and full Chinese voice acting.
Which one we listened to today?
I think we did the Chinese, just because I'm like, I've heard Japanese before. Let me try to listen to Chinese. I'm trying to be...
I think we did it too.
Well, because that's also the company's Taiwan, which I think speaks Mandarin.
Dialect of Chinese, whatever.
Yeah. So I think that's what the deciding factor was I wanted to listen to it like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to be better about listening. Like, I'll still listen to games in English, of course, but it's certain.
Yeah, if I had an English track, I probably would have done it because the people don't like. I'm looking at it now; the people don't look Chinese, so that's what we always say. It sounds dumb or maybe racist, but we obviously do the Yakuza games in Japanese because it just feels right. And well, it's your only option until Like a Dragon, I guess. But that and the Yakuza games feel right in Japanese. Anything else, if it doesn't look that way, then I don't know why you would.
Exactly. So. Part of the full, like I said, enhancements and including all new voice acting. Because it wasn't voiced previously.
Hmm.
And what they did, it was they jacked up the price in like the Steam store. And they jacked the price across all the boards for the Full Bloom edition to compensate for the voice acting. But one thing cool they did is if you already owned it, you just got the upgrade for free. They didn't make you rebuy it or pay an extra dollar.
That's rare.
Yeah. It says right here, because this is from Sugono. All new voice acting, acclaimed Japanese Mandarin voiceover. Okay, this means that we will be raising the price to reflect new content. However, to thank those who have supported us since launch, anyone who owns the original Opus Echo of Star Song on Steam will receive the Full Bloom edition at no additional cost. Thank you for your love.
Yeah, nobody ever do that.
No. But people are like, oh, it's just $1, you know, $1 to support.
Just so you know,
what?
Like, so for instance, there was a part of the PS5 stuff and remasters, and so there is a Horizon Zero Dawn 1 remaster.
Mm-hmm.
You could pay like an upgrade fee, but also at the same time, the game was like a certain price. Sony also raised the price of the base game and then added the upgrade fee. That's how Sony handles stuff like that.
I guess Sony's not your friend either.
Yeah.
Teehee. But yeah, they've been doing shit. Sony's always been doing shit.
Sony's a terrible company. We're not getting to that right now. They're an absolutely horrible company. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, and they wonder why people aren't like, we're not making enough money. Yeah, because you guys are stupid. But this isn't the poo on Sony. This is the raise up Opus Echo Star.
For some reason, Opus ain't on their consoles.
That might be. They may not like. They may have some sort of stupid loops to jump through where they're like, "Oh, we keep 90% of the profits because without us, you couldn't be on a console or something."
I think the industry standard's 30%. Yeah, everybody does that. But anyway.
Yeah, but that also might be 30%.
They gave away something that took a lot of work and cost them a lot of money, and they gave it away for free.
Yeah. To people who already owned it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you're a little 9 million downloads, you got a free voice acted upgrade, you know?
Exactly. Well, I got to pull my actual story notes up.
The voice acting. So I guess the other thing to do is try to talk about, we're always really bad at talking about what a game looks like. And this game has a look to it, but I'm not sure how you would explain this look necessarily.
It's
the art of the characters. It has character art of in talking boxes and stuff like that. The character art itself actually, to me, looks, because I'm looking at a bit of it now, it actually looks a bit like the, kind of like an offshoot of what the art for Dishonored looks like, but not as dark.
Yeah, it is like a simplified caricature almost.
Kind of. This is the closest thing I can think of. It kind of looks like the Dishonored art, but like, this obviously isn't a Dishonored game, but...
But you get the splash arts, and it does do like, not full-blown... cutscenes, but it does that thing where it's like
it'll a splash, a big full page art. Yeah,
usually it's just like, oh, look, it's a, you know, the little the thumbnail of the character, and it goes through a couple of different emotions, kind of like a lot of visual novels do. Mm-hmm. Then it'll do like a big, when something's kind of important, it'll like blow them up and like cover the whole screen with like, you know, two or three things. But then something tragic, or to like really emphasize the point, it'll take up the full screen comic book style. Would it take up a full panel, mm-hmm. or full page rather. And some of the, as the story progresses, you're like, oh, okay, it's kind of like a, you know, a happy-go-lucky, and then it starts to, like, dig into...
Oh, it does a whole lot of stuff, yeah. We can't get into all of it.
Some of the background on some of the characters, or just the world itself, and you're like, oh, Lord, this is awesome. I would watch this show. You know, it's really, yeah. like, it's a pretty gripping and enthralling story. But it does start... They're done well. If they're done well, they're probably one of my favorite forms of storytelling. But the game is a frame story.
Yeah. You're playing as an old version of one of the main characters, June. Mm-hmm. He's at this, I forget where he's, like at the one of the final places he goes to. He's going back to try to find the girl. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
Ida.
I only know June because I'm looking at him right now in the video.
Because there's a couple
of
them. But
he's much, it's like 50 years, some crazy.
66 years.
Yeah, in the future, and he's there to anybody, then he sits down at like a rock and starts kind of, I don't know who he's telling the story to, I guess.
Maybe, I think it's one of those things, maybe he told the story to people on his ship, yeah. as to why, because he's the elder of this community. He is the leader of this community and has been for the last 65 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Once some stuff happened and he got back to his people, he was made leader of their nomadic tribe.
There's a lot of lore stuff here,
and it's hard to get into all of it.
Yeah, we can't get into all of it, and that and trying to remember everything, and that and the game does kind of just
drop you in
on the deep end, and you kind of just kind of go forward and kind of learn as much as you can as it goes along. There's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of original stuff here, mm-hmm. like the star songs and stuff like that is a whole thing. People like Ida's like a witch, but not like the cackling evil witches like you think of. They're another kind of, it's just a title of a kind of person she is. June's like I think they call him a cave runner, where they go and look at ruins, trying to find...
Specifically, lumen is what they're looking for. Yeah, it's the crystallized version of like...
It's like a fuel or something.
It's everything. It's fuel, like everything. Building blocks, currency. It's
like everything, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and it's really just like you're clicking on things, and the people are talking, and you're picking up items, and the items have lore, and there's, like I said, it's a visual novel. There's lots of talking, so they're saying a lot of things early on, and even throughout, that you just kind of don't.
You're like, what does that
really
mean?
Know? And he talks, and he's from a certain kind of people, and then there's you know, other people. There's like so many different kinds of races. They all look like humans, but there's all kind. There's wars, and there's a whole thing that they've put together here that maybe like the game assumes you've played the other games. Like you said, they are connected, but like not directly by each character. But it is a lot. But it kind of like.
You get the gist of what some of the stuff is.
Yeah, the way it kind of feeds it to you, you're kind of just like, kind of interested in just getting to the next bit of this story. And you could read all the little, you could read all the little things and all the little stuff it gives you, and it kind of helps grow it. And every little place you stop in has an explanation or some point of its history.
At least like a sentence or two descriptor.
Yeah, yeah. There's lots of stuff to gather here.
I can tell the two areas that you... The area of space that you're in for the majority of the game is called a Thousand Peaks. Mm-hmm. And then where June is from is a place called the East Ocean. Mm-hmm. And they're a group of nomadic people, but they have, you know, there's a bunch of different tribes with the leader of the tribe. And then there's a grand leader that all the leaders be kind of like a Yakuza, where you have all the mm-hmm. captains and sub captains and the boss. But this is like full blown. Like nomadic tribes where each tribe, you know, and so June's traumatic backstory is he is the last living member of his tribe. His family there was some sort of accident, and everyone in his tribe died except for him and his guardian, which is a man named Kay.
Yeah.
And that's like his mentor, his, you know, Alfred. And then he gets picked on for being the, well, he's like, I'm going to grow my family up to, you know, being the best of the best. And part of his coming of age thing was like, you have to go find some sort of lucrative trade. Doesn't matter how big or how small, but find some sort of trade mm-hmm. to bring currency and fame back into.
So that's why he's doing the cave running to try to find, hoping to go to all these ruins
to try
to find something that's going to help revive his clan.
His clan is going to bring to the clan to the clan as a whole, and then help raise up his tribe. So you have to use the word clan and tribe separately because they're not the same thing in this case. But yeah, that's his whole goal. And then he, you know, everyone's snickering at him, and he's like, "Well, I'll come back with the greatest trade this place has ever seen." And they go, "Whatever, fine." But he literally gets exiled until he comes back with the trade. And so it's literally just him and Kay in a not great ship. I think their opening ship is not good. But that's like a pretty like enthralling. Like, because you
just. Well, it's written better than what we're saying.
Yeah, it is written better, but it's like an enthralling, like, immediately pulls you into these things because it's frame story. Because you just sat down with this really old dude and he's talking about he has to make it to her. He has to keep his promise to her, to specifically her, is what he says. And then it rewinds time to where him getting exiled to go bring in a lucrative trade. And you're like, this is a whiplash of emotions. He's saying do it for her, but he's his young him saying do it for this clan, and then it's just him? What? It's just him by himself, and it's just like a really good. As our roster of characters does continue to grow throughout.
Yeah.
I'll just say their names real quick, and we'll touch on them as we kind of get to them.
Yeah. Well, you meet another one. Like, I watched a video in the background. You do meet Ida and her little, she has a partner too, Remy. You meet them really early right here on the first beginning of the game, so
fairly quickly.
Yeah, and the stuff with Ida is the witch. How we explain the witches and their star songs. That's like her Ida's main purpose is being a witch and using her star songs. The way you use star songs to find asteroid caves and like lots of other stuff, because everywhere has a. Like every place that's resonating with Lumen has a star song. Is that right? Does that sound right? And then witches can use their abilities to find those. And they also use combative abilities in some way because they're used for war.
But we didn't see any of that.
Yeah, the war's passed, yeah. But they were used for war.
Which is, like, that's one of those crazy cool parts of the concept. God, without diving too much into it, there was a 20-year Lumen war in the Thousand Peaks area between a mega corporation called United Mining and a bunch of other smaller groups.
Rebels and stuff.
Yeah. And so the big corporate didn't use the witches, but everyone else did. And they, like I said, I don't know what, because we don't use the Star Song that way, so I honestly have no idea.
So it's interesting that they talk about witches as weapons of war. And you don't ever, spoilers, I mean, so we're talking about a game with nothing but story. You don't ever see Ida use an ability for combat to defend herself or anything like that. So I'm not even sure exactly sure what they do, mm-hmm. or if the game even really tells you exactly what they do. But she, throughout this entire game, Ida never does anything besides help you find stuff.
Yeah, she has to, she can do it naturally, but then
I think she knows witches who died in the war and stuff like that. Yeah. But she never herself. I don't know if she was even a part of the war.
That's what I wanted to get to. Her, well, no, her backstory is kind of crazy because it develops as you go out through the game because you speak to this because her whole goal, Ida, is trying to find her master, the person who trained her.
Yeah.
And Ida has something else wrong with her. She's a mute. Mm-hmm. That's why she can't actually do some of the stuff she can do. She can't do any of the combative stuff because she herself is a mute. But it's one of those what do you call it, psychological traumatic events.
Well, I think she can't sing. She talks just fine, apparently.
Oh, okay. It's something to do with her larynx or her
one of the lost her ability to like. It comes and goes apparently a little bit, because mm-hmm. she's talking just fine here.
Okay, so that's what it is. So she lost her ability to sing.
And which is the witch's whole purpose.
The star song. You have to be able to sing. And so it's crazy because she trains and trains and trains. And they're like, oh, your drive is going to push you through. Your drive is going to push you through. And she's a child soldier. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She is a child soldier. And so she gets all the way up to the point. She goes through like the middle school and primary school. And she's about to elevate to actually start learning how to do the stuff. And she's told no. You can't sing, and we can't use you. The best we can do is you can be someone's handmaid. But she's like, but I want to help. I want to do this. And so she gets kicked out. because she's refusing their whatever. And then one of the people was like, well, you can't sing, but I can show you other ways to do what we're doing. And then like within a year, the war ends and everyone she went to school with has died. And they lose horribly. And so she's a child soldier who's raised up to be a soldier. And she's got, I don't want to say brainwashing necessarily, but she's got the mentality of like, I have to beat these people because we're at war. And then they lose the war. And so she doesn't know how to move forward. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, other stuff that happens. And you're just like, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot. So you're like, she was trying to be a soldier. And within like the last weeks, not even a year, but like the last months of the war.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy. And then God forbid her friend Remy had her whole other thing.
Yeah, Remy's like the
she's the pilot. Yeah. Pilot tech girl.
Mechanic, whatever, the kind of little child prodigy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mechanic pilot thing combination. She's the she's always angry. She's the that's her character dynamic, and she especially hates June for, cuz she can tell he's kind of, when June and Ada start falling for each other, she can see it, and it's like her little play. Most of her thing is hating June. That's their character dynamic till at least all the way till the very end of the game. That's their character dynamic.
And I think she still hates him at the end.
Yeah.
For different reasons, but still hates him. And then there's like a lot of world building, because once you join people, you're actually in between each mission or each place you visit,
yeah,
you get upgrades to your ship.
Yeah, so, well, God, there's a lot. Seems like we called it a freaking visual novel.
I mean,
you do start in the game with the regular moving about inside one of the caves. You're going to do this a bunch in the game. It's a side scrolling kind of a 2.5D, because you move in and out of the backgrounds too. And there's puzzle solving and stuff like that, mostly which involves moving. There's a bunch of moving lumen through
like pipe puzzles.
There's a lot of pipe puzzles in the game. Maybe too many. I don't know. I never really got too. We had they're not complicated enough. I don't know. We had a guy.
We
need a guy, because none of it's complicated enough really to need a guide. But it's a lot of pipe puzzles and opening doors and climbing ladders, and then that's a lot of the moving around you kind of do for that side of the gameplay. You do pick up like knickknacks and stuff like that, like flowers or crystals or just different things that go to your inventory too, that you just kind of purge when you go to shops on the different asteroids. You don't really land on any planets.
Yeah, there's no...
It's all asteroids and space stations and stuff like that. I haven't really thought
about those. You go to some planets, but they are... The majority of it is like a space station in the middle of nowhere, or like you said, like an asteroid that has construction. You occasionally do go to like a planet.
And with the exploring, because runners, I don't know if all runners or him specifically, they have this... the staff, I don't know what they call it, the staff that, and then he has the recordings of Star Song, because a lot of things inside these asteroids resonate with Star Songs.
Well, because what they did during that war is the United Military thing, we call it United Mining Group, went like above and beyond and killed as many witches as they could, because they're like, these people aren't going to rise up again.
But,
and so what they did is these recorded Star Songs, you can have them play back through like basically a voice recorder in that staff. You have to like have a kind of like think
it's the sound you're used to hearing, the pop snap you hear throughout the whole game. It's a pretty good use of sound.
Mm-hmm.
A good sound. I'm sure they tested a bunch of different pop snaps found the one, because you hear every time you do a puzzle, because you end up collecting a bunch of different Star Songs, and you got to use different Star Songs with different asteroids, because they only work on certain asteroids.
Yeah, stars. But anyway, each star individually, or each like star or location of lumen, vibrates and has its own song.
Resonance.
Yeah,
we're saying crazy stuff. Yeah. You're like, what are they talking about?
But it's in a very enthralling world.
It's unique. Like, you know, I don't really, I need to run around popping recordings into staffs and opening doors, because it resonates and lights up, because you use the lumen lumen powers it. And you get the lumen pipes, the lumen liquid to the doors, and then you use the right Star Song to resonate with the lumen in the door to open the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds complicated, but it's really not, because like each area you go through.
So every area, like you generally like, you have like you this like you'll buy or you'll find other star songs, and that's the star song you use to find that asteroid. So when you're in that asteroid, that's the star song
that's
you
playing use in the background
there.
Too.
Well, that even if you have a list of star songs, eventually the one you use to find that place is the one you use to open the doors. It's not like you're like trying every song to figure out what's happening. The one that you it's always you know I said so that's the one that works there, and they have the different sounds and stuff like that. And she could do this kind of stuff too. She uses her abilities like to find stuff sometimes too.
That helps amplifies her ability, kind of like Cerebro and Professor X.
Yeah
she gets this big that's old
part of her little witch ship.
Part of the Red Chamber is the name of the ship.
Yeah.
And it like it's always like this kind of a cool little cut scene when it does it, and it's like kind of like a zooms out to the location. It's like, you discovered
so if you're not exploring an asteroid, you are on the ship. Mm-hmm. You can walk around. I think there's parts of the ship you can walk around. Mm-hmm. And then you can, you don't technically fly the ship. You choose destinations and you travel there. There's fuel, which I'm always worried about fuel at the beginning of a game that has stuff like this as a resource. But it's like so easy, kind of so easy to maintain, and you get enough money to like upgrade and refuel and all that kind of stuff as you travel from the different asteroids. Not all asteroids have shops on them, but enough of them do that you do just fine. I'm thinking now that we had a guide. I'm having memories of having a guide.
Maybe there's a Neo Sequel.
Sometimes when you travel between asteroids, you think a lot of the same events are triggered sometimes. I don't think it's as random as it seems.
I'm pretty sure we used a Neo Seeker then.
Maybe Neo Seeker talked about, like, if you travel from here to here, you have just enough fuel, and then you might run into pirates, and then you have some dice roll stuff based on the equipment you have on the current level of equipment you have on the ship, where you can avoid somebody, or you can actually send fake signals and trick them to get by them. It's just kind of interesting.
It's like flying through an interterry blockade, and you like, oh, this is a captain such and such. And like, oh, sorry, captain, move on through. We don't mean to bother you. Like, you were able to like, but then you would fail, and then you would get, oh yeah, because you would have to increase your armor, and you had gravitation fields you had to go through, and then solar flares, and you had to like put your shields up, and that was like, you know, to block from getting damage from the solar flares.
You
had
armor panels, it would break. Or you could like, if you didn't have the right equipment to talk your way out of something, you would just like
get shot.
It would say just power your way through, and you'd fly through and get shot. Then you just prepare your armor at the next place that had a store.
If you had enough money.
I don't really remember having trouble with money.
I think it was a little tight early on.
Yeah.
But then it would, because there's upgrades you can buy. Some of the main upgrades. That also, because now that I'm thinking about the guide we did follow, was like, save up your money, buy this upgrade first. Save up your money, buy this upgrade next. And the upgrades that you're buying were like haggles. It gave you more money when you sold plants and more money when you sold junk and stuff like that. It was like, 5% more for junk, 10% more for plants, and you could upgrade that to even higher, to like 20% and 10%. And then once you get those, you're literally not struggling with money the rest of the game. And as long as you're like, when you're exploring the Lumen Caves, as long as you're picking up every, because there's no inventory space. As long as you're fully exploring every area, going down every crook and nanny, going, like, it's one of those things too, where it's like, walk to this hallway, there's a door you're supposed to open. Take four more steps forward and you get to a dead end, and there's usually like a plant or like a dead runner that had died there because they didn't have the correct song or something.
Yeah.
You come across a lot of dead bodies just because people they think
running is a dangerous job.
And you think you have the correct star song, it ends up not being the star song, and then people like are, you know, it's like, what do you call it? It's basically like the gold rush back in the, you know, the old west, where everyone moved out there because it was supposed to be lush, but then a war happened and a lot of things got blowed up, and then the Lumen flow isn't as free as it used to be because it's all controlled by the mega corporation. And then it's just really cool like that. Just pick up everything, including the, you know, grave robbing. You know, and there's nothing wrong robbing a corpse that they're dead in space, I guess.
This is far from the first and won't be the last game where you rob a corpse.
Oh, God, no. But yeah, not all the puzzles were bad. The most annoying one was the one where you actually had to, I feel like, record the star song using the Cerebro machine on your ship. Because you had to, like, line up the equalizer.
No, there's another. That wasn't, oh, okay, that was not so. What was the one? What was the one where you had to like line up? You had to turn. It's so stupid. Line up the big stone things. You had to turn them and line them up.
Oh, yeah, those were...
I haven't seen one yet in the video, but I have a memory of those. Like, I don't like that kind of... It's in a lot of video games where you turn, rotate something to match it up, I think, is in this game.
Oh, yeah, because it was like, okay, because it's like, it's a circle, and it's like tiered 1, 2, 3. The third tier moves independently. The second tier, when you move it, it makes the third one kind of rotate the opposite direction. And then the core, when you turn that one, it makes the two and third tier rotate. And so you had to like, yeah.
I hate those puzzles. Finding the star songs like that, that wasn't that hard though.
You just had to like line up the orbs.
That, and you have to actually, if you're playing, we play all games with headphones, but that's actually an audio element to trying to line it up, because when the closer you get to do it right, the louder the star song gets. It's pretty neat.
Yes.
You only do that maybe a handful of times in the whole game anyway, really. Probably
About 12 or 13, because you have to have, you get all the star songs.
Oh, yeah. I guess it seems like there might be less of it.
There's quite a few of them. Let's see here. God, there's, like I said, there's so much story, but I do want to briefly talk about one of my favorite characters you meet. He's a side character, but he becomes very endearing throughout the game. He's the first person you meet is this pirate leader named Bones.
Well, his story is cool because he's a pirate leader first.
Yeah. I like Bones is probably my favorite because he's a pirate leader, and he's hung out in this base, and independently, June and Kay find a location to this asteroid, and Ida and Remy find a location to this asteroid, and they're like trying to search.
Yeah.
For some stuff.
That's like the whole opening chapter.
It's literally like the whole prologue. And Bones is the leader of this pirate group. You all get Kay and June get captured, and Ida and Remy end up like rescuing you. But then Ida gets held at gunpoint by Bones, and this whole thing happens. And in order to like escape, you just blow the asteroid up. You're like, we can't do anything. And then you blow this thing up, and then Bones ends up getting captured and put in jail. And because June, again, it's throughout the game, but June is a nice person. And so, for whatever reason, he ends up pen-palling. He writes a letter to Bones in jail. Just to be like, I'm sorry that you had to end up in jail. I understand that you're just trying to make a living, but you should have did something better with, you know, how you do things. And Bones responds. And as he responds, his letter is just filled with hate and venom. He's like, you stupid little boy. And then, like, once the prologue ends, it does, like, a time jump. There's a lot of time jumps throughout this, like, you know.
Well, back and forth time stuff, too.
Well, as the core story goes forward, you do jump, like, you know, 6 months, a year. You do jump because the whole story is like over a couple of years, and then it does the big jump at the end to when he's the leader, to the frame story part. Sorry for the confusion. But, like, it does, a time jump, like, about a year and a half or so. And as you're going through, each chapter is, like, a year jump. But once you're going through the chapter and you're going through all the emails and the computer, you realize that you have more letters from Bones. And you're like, well, I don't normally read the stuff on, you know, because it depends on how much the game pulls me in. If the game really pulls me in, I'll read everything. If I'm not really digging the game,
I won't read anything. I always wish more things did the Mass Effect thing, but I know that was really expensive to do the Mass Effect codec thing.
Oh, yeah. But you speak to Bones, and Bones is like, hey, buddy. Thanks for appearing at my parole hearing. You know, they let me go on good behavior, but in order for me to do that, they have this like massive friendship that grows for a dude who held him hostage and tried to kill him, and they end up becoming like really good friends to the point. Bones, part of his thing is he got kicked out of the military, I think it was. And so he didn't know how to function in a normal society. So that's why he became a pirate, because he's like, screw the man. But then thrown in jail, his only way of getting out of jail was to rejoin the military. And so, but he's really good at it, apparently. Mm-hmm. And so he ends up by getting... plows through the ranks pretty high. And at least two times throughout the game, he actually comes to your rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. Because if you're not reading those little things, you don't realize that they're friends. Because he's like... Lieutenant White. His real name is Lawrence White. And it was like, Captain White, sir, or Lieutenant White, sir. But you guys always refer to him as Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's us, you know him. He's like, guys, I stopped using that name a long ago. Whatever, Bones, be quiet. You know, and so it's like, and that whole story is just really cool. I really genuinely enjoyed watching that friendship grow. I thought that was really cool. And just someone who you was supposed to be your arch nemesis. But yeah.
That's cool.
And one of the other mini games you do, you only do this like two or three times, I think. Maybe once, honestly. But there's a debris dodging thing. Do you remember that in the Red Chamber? There's an achievement for it. It was like dodge through the debris without getting shot.
Do I do that one time?
I think you do it once or twice. And there's an achievement responsible for it. So I kept having to reset. I think I got it on like my fourth try. But there's a debris dodging mechanic that you don't, I think you only have to do like twice in the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Never like dodging stuff for an achievement. But dang, we did it though.
Yeah. It took a minute.
I hadn't did that since like, what was that other game? Lone Away Sails, the boat game. And we went underwater, had to go through a cave without touching the walls.
Yeah.
I did that like two or three tries. We technically, that was the second game. We do own the first game.
We did get the first one eventually.
We'll do the podcast one of these years.
I'm sure it will be. Did you have, because there's way too much story.
There's a lot of stuff, and you're like, and I'm kind of watching, I'm still like watching this, like the prologue and stuff play out, but.
Because there's a.
The main thing about it is like remembering, like for me, it's like remember actually enjoying it. Like it's a lot of reading. I mean, it is voice acted in Chinese, whatever, but like just a lot. There's always something going on, and it's just like it moves at a steady pace. You're never like, there didn't really seem like there was any parts that were like filler. Like the game was never really lumbering. It was like they're moving on to the next thing they're trying to do. So the pace kept up pretty good. And the traveling around was kind of neat. It was kind of cool to go. Because everywhere you go is it main story. You go off on the side to fight, you get other songs and you go to other optional asteroids
get star maps and star songs.
It was kind of neat to go off and explore other places. And that most of your rewards for a lot of that stuff was just more lore, honestly, which normally most games would kind of just piss me off. But this one was kind of the whole point of everything was kind of learning about the areas and stuff like that.
And anytime you go somewhere, well, I'd say it's like an 85% chance. Is when you would go somewhere, you could scan it for lore, and then you could also launch a drone, and you would get items. Mm-hmm. So almost everywhere you went, you got lore everywhere you went, no matter what. And majority of the time, you got with your drone stuff to sell. And it happens a few times. I think it doesn't happen again until like late game, where you have to do some floating around in your spacesuit. You had to do that a couple of times. Remember that?
Yeah, that's the one part. Yeah, where you're flying around. There's a lot. That place got kind of mazy.
Yeah,
well, you only did that one area.
It's an exploded space station.
Yeah, you know? It was cool flying around there and touching on the computers, trying to figure out what happened there. While you're there was obviously just gathering the information you needed for moving on to the next part.
Yeah, I see right here that there's at least three of them. Because the floating around sections are really cool. Two so far, and then I hit the big research center at the end, so we did it a third time, so at least three times.
Mm-hmm.
And then because like I said, you meet so there's like reoccurring characters. One of them, there's one you never meet, but he's really funny because he's corresponding emails with Remy.
Oh, the guy who wants to marry her or whatever.
Oh yeah, his name's Benzel.
Mm-hmm.
And he is Remy's love dove.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I'll take you away from all this. And he's like, get away from me. I hate you. And he's like, oh, when you hate me, I love you more.
You don't actually meet this guy face to face.
It's all correspondence between him and her. And it's pretty cute and funny and stuff sometimes. And it's just one of those. And then you get through like the mythos of the world about Lumen. And then they start talking about, because June doesn't know. Because June was in a whole other separate area of space, yeah. So he doesn't know anything about.
Like, is he like it's specific to this galaxy or whatever?
Yeah, to the Thousand Peaks.
Yeah,
this planetary system called Thousand Peaks, and so it's a storytelling device. It makes sense for the story because he was from another area called the East Ocean, so he doesn't know about witches. So when he comes in, he is the player character. He gets to ask, he's like, "What's the Star Song?" He's like, how are you trying to be a cave runner, but you don't know what a star song is? That's one of the things that Remy hates about him, because he's so naive. He doesn't know anything about the world. He made this big promise and literally knows nothing about what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so because he gets to be the player character, but he is an established person of lore in the world, but it makes genuine sense why he would ask these questions. As opposed to sometimes someone who's like, ooh, I've been born in this galaxy system, but what is a star song? What is like, it doesn't, sometimes it's like a forced exposition, and it is forced exposition, but his mentor Kay knows a little bit.
Yeah. Knows a lot more. Knows a lot more than what June knows.
Yeah, June knows nothing. Yeah. And so it does, it's a really good storytelling device because it allows him to be the ignorant person that is the player character, which is you, to ask, have these questions asked and get more information dumped on you.
Yeah.
So I do like that his, you know, because sometimes you can a character is just exposition and they're just heavy handed. The only reason they're there is to exposition.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's there. He's a full blown character and he gets part of the exposition is him not knowing. And I do like that when it's made
handled better,
handled more clever, more better. More better
flow to it. More better.
More better.
Wish more games were more. I wish more games were more better.
Yeah, me too. You ain't wrong. But then another character you see quite a bit is a named Dr. Russell, and she's like the person, like their go-to person. She gives them like
a little bit. She's not supposed to be talking to them because you do get like a rebel status, not like a rebel, but you do get in trouble with the.
The United,
yeah, you do get with the military, United Mining, yeah, like Corp. You're actually kind of you do forget what you do, but you do get in trouble, and then she's not supposed to,
because she works for, she's a liaison, she's a doctor,
yeah,
but she knows because before she started working for the doctor, for the military, she was a rebel, not a rebel, but she was a non-participating member of the war because she was a doctor and she would heal everybody. So she actually knows Ada and Ada's vocal singing problems and stuff previous and stuff like that. And she had a, what do you call it? A maternal bond. Like they're not family or anything like that, but she feels maternal instincts towards these two young girls because they come to her and she helped them and she's watched them grow up and she doesn't want to see anything bad to them. And she's always like, it kind of reminds me of like the old like anytime you watch like a cop movie or like a comedy cop show, it's like the captain's like, you guys are putting me in such a tight spot, you're all stupid, I ain't ever gonna do this again. And then like less than 15 minutes later he's like, all right guys, I don't want to know about what you're doing, but I'm gonna leave the room and don't look at the file on my desk. You know, she's always dropping, doing stuff like that. She's like, oh, whatever you do, could you please throw my trash out for me, because I didn't throw anything interesting away. And there's like a little USB drive in her trash can for you. Like she's, you know, it's heavy handed, but she does try to help you. And she usually regrets it because it always ends up getting you guys to do in trouble or getting, but she never gets found out. So that is pretty good. But, yeah. But then it gets to the crazy things about Lumen. And this is where like the whole, because the Star Songs and stuff like that is like their memories from across like time. And stuff like that. Other witches, like, because these songs were sung by an original witch a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Who I don't know, vibed with the universe and then belted out the song of that star or that planet or that Lumen deposit. And then be how the Star Song works. It looks like it just kind of echoed forever, which is the echoes of Star Song, because it echoes forever
through time and everything.
And anyone else who can listen can hear it no matter what. They just have to be attuned to it. And so they do this crazy thing and you're like, whoa, what? These are from other times? And it's really cool and it's a really unique way of storytelling that they're hearing a song that began 1,000 years ago and that is still echoing.
In the Lumen. Everything.
In the Lumen. And it's really cool and you're like, whoa. And that does come into, like, they established that kind of early on. Like, maybe not the first, but it's like your second major story beat is, you know, why. Because, again, June's stupid, and he's asking him all these questions. And
he's ignorant.
Ignorant, yeah. There's a difference between being stupid and ignorant. He's ignorant of the area. I've talked a bunch. Do you have any?
I don't know, yeah. It's just a lot of stuff. I'm watching the gameplay. I keep saying it, but you forget that when you visit different places, I'm going to say now, different places.
Oh, you don't, can job you hunt.
You don't always go into a thing to do the 2D side-scrolling. So, you do have, again, I'm watching the little video in the background to help my memory of a game we played a long time ago. You do, when you travel to new places, not every place isn't just a go into the 2.5D exploring thing. That's like certain places you go to. There's lots of places you stop at, like 90% of them, that's just like a menu, and you have a couple of different options. Like the main places that have people on them, you can go to different parts of these asteroids and you click on them and you talk to different people and you gather stuff or information, or like you said, jobs or coordinates and other various things. And the ones that have stores, you go into a store and then that's where you buy or sell your different stuff.
I remember doing a weird thing because my guide, the guide would be like, oh, be sure to do this job. But if you have, it's one of those weird things. It's like,
if you have enough money, the jobs don't appear.
Yeah. If you don't need the money, the jobs, they won't even talk to you.
Yeah, it's weird. So it's a weird way that you couldn't like stockpile additional money. It was a weird way to, yeah.
It was strange.
I had a lot of those. Most of those when I went there, the jobs weren't there.
Yeah.
I'm always frugal as hell.
You do the first one anyway. I think you have to do the first one. But that's also the start of the game, and you have like $2.
Yeah. When you stop at other random asteroids without people and you go to like explore them and stuff like that, you have your four things. You have.
Well, you only ever explore Lumen Caves. Like if you go to just random asteroid, that's when you do the drone shot.
They call them exploration kits. You got to have that's another kind of I don't want to call it a currency, but you only have so many of those.
You have to have that.
Yeah, and you use those to explore, and you will find more things. You'll find straight up find fuel, or you'll find other things to sell to get better stuff. And certain, I don't know if it's random. Sometimes you'll find certain parts you need for upgrades for your ship, and the ship upgrades are like a skill tree of like anything you have. You end up getting them all anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
You can miss some because I had to go farm.
Well, I had to fly back to a place to get another like a certain upgrade item. Like more of it appeared at a certain place. I googled it and kind of flew back there.
I think we had the same one.
It was probably the same because we just didn't happen to get enough of that particular item.
It was like an antenna.
But anyway, there's enough in the game that you will fully upgrade all your upgrades on your ship, and that usually results in, I think you can hold more fuel, more exploration kits, better communication, so you can fool people better. It increases your chance of rolls
and higher armor
and armor plating. So those are the different upgrades you get. It's kind of cool.
And then of course there's one that lets you like the haggling stuff. You can sell. Well, it's like a preservation chamber to where you can preserve the plants and stuff you find better. Mm-hmm. And it makes you able to sell it for more. It's cool. They give you a haggle tool, but it's like a technology based thing that it's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's neat. It's really cool. It's handled well.
Yeah. A lot of this game is handled very well. And like, I think maybe near the end, because it does get to a point where like...
when you like run out of upgrade. It's any game where you run out of upgrades. Yeah,
we run out of like the upgrade cycle. But it does do a cool thing for the travel where you have to like plot your
Yeah, it's a big jump. Star map, and you just kind of... it's just a map, and you see all the stuff around you, and you click on a thing, and it initiates like a thing.
Yeah, it tells you you'll make it here in 12 jumps, but you only have enough fuel for 10. And you're like, okay, so let me go to this space station, and then from that space station, then I can refuel there and make it there, you know. And once or twice, because there's these things called Tales of Failure, like whenever you would fail a mini.
We had to collect a couple of them for an achievement.
I never actually got them.
I got it,
I only got two Tales of Failure. You need to get three for an achievement.
Yeah, I got that one eventually.
But there are things where you could just be like... because, I mean, there are states of failure. There are far and few between.
Are you running out of fuel, you think, is the biggest worry? You just kind of revert back to the closest place that has fuel?
Yeah. Because what it does... What it does is you just like you plot your course, and the game's like, that's five jumps away. You have enough fuel for two, and you're like, do you still want to go? And you're like, yep, let's do it. And you'll jump, and then the screen will fade to black, and it's like you guys, and then you get this like little like loading screen. It's like you guys drifted in space for 3 or 4 days before a local trader found you, or the United Military found you, and they took you to, and it's not always the last place you went to. They just take you to a random spot in that direction, like the closest system.
Yeah, you usually got plenty of fuel though.
Yeah, but
as long as you're paying attention,
I think there's an achievement for it. I was like, you know, run out of fuel or something. So
well,
I did
one for running out. The one achievement we'll talk about achievements here near the end, but one of the achievement that I did not get was completely run out of fuel twice. I don't know why. I just didn't do that. You can just do that randomly. I guess take the game auto save, so it might screw your save up.
Yeah. Do you have any like anything you? Because like I'm saving one of these last spots for the end.
Yeah, we get to go ahead and move. We've confused people enough talking about the world and stuff like that. If you want to talk about some,
but one of the last
ending of the game.
Well, one of the last things you do is that Black Hole Research Center.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's a lot of revelations and stuff that happened there, and. We haven't really spoken about it enough because we spoke about it at the very beginning, but at the end of each, the game is broken into like episodes or chapters. at the, I don't know if, I think it's at the end or at the beginning of each one, it does constantly keep jumping back to the 70-year-old June.
Yeah.
And him standing up from his rock and, you know, him walking on his cane to like another spot and him giving you some like future dialogue of what he's gone through. And you find out some like really cool stuff. Like he did achieve his dream. Mm-hmm. He did become the leader of his group, as you can, like, when, you know, you can't connect those dots. Cause he's, you know, everyone's like, leader, what are you doing? You can't go by yourself. And he's like, I demand I go by myself. And so he does end up becoming the leader, and you're like, well, how do you become the leader? We're going to talk about that. And then as you're walking, you're like, where's everybody at? Where's, and you start trying to wondering where everyone's at in this future part. Cause you start, you know, getting attached to all these characters and stuff. And it keeps kind of like, he walks so far, then he gets tired and sits back down, and then it shoots back to your, where you were in the story. And one of the last places you go to is this place called the Black Hole Research Center. And it's just a destroyed research center on the cusp of a, like a black hole. Obviously they were too close or something happened and they went boom. And So that's what you talked about. One of the places you have to, in your spacesuit, you kind of like wander through.
Yeah. Destroyed.
Yeah. Labyrinthine area. And the whole time you're following Ida, and Ida is following this like lumen sprite, I guess. It's just a little ball of lumen that like circles around her and is trying to tell her, it needs to give her more information. It's trying to lure her to the main host body of the lumen so it can give her the song and give her the history of it, mm-hmm. of what actually happened there. And it's just really, that's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is kind of crazy when you think about it. They just casually do stuff.
Oh, yeah. But do we want to talk about like some of the stuff for people? Do you want to spoiler alert it here and then go?
Oh, because it's a story game. You want to talk about a bit of the ending or something? I don't remember everything, but if you got notes,
I got some notes about some of the ending and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert: if everything we've spoken about has intrigued you remotely, and you do want to play Opus Echo of Star Song, I don't know, fast forward 2 or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you don't get to the part where I'm like, oh yeah, and so bleep, you know. But this is your spoiler alert. You're officially entering spoiler country. Yeehaw, all that fun stuff, we're here. So basically what happens is Ida follows that sprite into this lumen spring, and then the doors close and you can't get inside. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what's going on? And it basically, but with this massive amount of lumen that you discover here, basically June gets everything he wants. He becomes the leader of his tribe. He was the largest nomad group in the East Ocean, and because of his pull, becoming like this crazy hero of finding all this lumen, he opens up a very lucrative trade between the Thousand Peaks and the East Ocean. It's the most trade. It allows him to freely move between the two galaxies, and he becomes like so immensely famous and popular, and so much power and all this stuff. And that drifts because we don't know what happened to Ida.
Yeah.
She went into this lumen portal and was gone. And Remy accuses you of abandoning her. But you're like, we went back and looked. And so you and Remy, who she has always hated you, kind of fall by, you know, y'all go your separate ways. And Remy ends up like, you read all this through emails and stuff like that. There's no actual dialogue, because it is jumping years.
Well, there's a text scroll here. I skipped to the end of the video. There's like a big, big text scroll at the end on the last chapter about what he's been doing.
Yeah,
for a couple of years.
Goes through everything, and one of the things is the fact that Remy did go run off with her love dove, mm-hmm. but then she ends up. I don't know if they ever got married, but she ends up leaving him, and she ends up like dying or whatever, and like sends you a last hateful email, like with her dying finger click. Mm-hmm. And in that email, she sends something like it's got an attachment of all of her research and everything on where Ida could be. And so she ends up, and then like with that same email, the following email was like, oh, you read that. She's like, oh, here's an attachment to all the information. And then the following email is like, oh, we're reporting to the next of kin for Miss Remy such and such. She has passed away on this day. And it's like the next day, mm-hmm. you know, and you're like, oh crap. So everyone's dead. And then you find out that Dr. Russell, person just vanished after the, because she gave you the information to go to that black hole research center. Mm-hmm. You find out that she just up and vanished. No one's heard from her ever since. And then you get a notification from the military saying that we're calling to inform you that your friend Lawrence White, aka Bones, has been classified as MIA. We have not been able to find him. And, you know, because he became like his best friend, and he rose to the ranks together. And because he was such a high powered official cracking that deal, that they reported like some of this stuff to him because of where he was and his pool and everything. And you're trying to like, you find out like all this tragedy
over, yeah, just life, I guess.
Yeah, for the next 60, I think, because it jumped 66 years. So I think in this case was like 60 years. I think there's a 6-year gap of the main story, and then he himself jumped 66. Mm-hmm. And his last thing to do, because he's dying. He is, in fact, dying. Because his last thing is he wants to try to see Ida one last time through some way. So he goes back to the last place that he saw her, and then he goes through this whole like heartfelt, and he kind of like it fast forwards through all the stuff and everything him talking about, and it's, what do you call it, like, context clues. You're like, oh, he might know something, he might do something. And he gets all the way to this blooming tree that's just overflowing with lumen, and he sits down underneath that tree, and then Ida sits down beside him, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then he can hear her song. She gets to sing for the first, like, not for the first time, but she sings for the last time, and her song echoed here in this location for him. And it's like a, you know, like, she's like, I loved you, I was afraid of what would happen, and I didn't know, and then I got stuck here, I shouldn't have came through. And, you know, she's like, I wish I could be with you and Remy, and I love you. And then he, you know, gets the gratification, and he gets to see her, and they get to, weird, they get to have this like conversation through the lumen, because she's still alive.
Across time somewhere.
Across time through, it's like, it's one of those like, woo, like, silly little anime things or time travel things. It's not real.
It's real.
It's real, obviously, but it's like a beautiful moment. And then it's like a happy, tragic, sad ending, similar to like The Notebook, I guess. Where they, you know, they fight, like, he's always had that, he's had these feelings for Ida, she expresses she had feelings for him, and that she's sorry that she couldn't have explored
spend their life together.
And so he spends his dying moments with the woman that she loves, and technically she gets to spend her dying moments with the man she loves. And it's a really, and they end up, they die together in each other's company, not necessarily embrace, but in each other's company. And it's just a really sweet like story. Like, I was like, holy crap, that's really awesome. And like, I don't mind a dour ending. I think that makes the story more poignant, because everything got to go through, but they get the moment of happiness at the very end, what they've been hoping for the entire time. And it was just really really sweet. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I remember, because I had a faint memory, but I remember we played this a long time ago.
Not that long ago, dude.
It feels like it was a long time ago.
According to my TA.
February.
Yeah, it was February.
Still long enough ago to not remember everything. But I think it's definitely worth playing if you people are like, all you do is talk. I mean, there's other stuff, but like, if you want to, it's better that we get the games where all, like, the talking games would actually have a good story. There's lots of talking games out there that just have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. It's good to have one that's actually, and like, it's good enough that like you said, I didn't know about the other games, so I'd like to find my way to go back through the other games probably, and then obviously look forward to the new one.
Prism Peak is what it's called. And that one sounds kind of cool too, because each game, from what I can tell, they follow, because this one followed a Star Song Witch, mm-hmm. and being a cave runner, and then all the other ones follow different points of view. And so this next one, following a different mechanic, is, it sounds like, based off the bit I read, it's a you're a photojournalist during a war, but I think the war breaks out as the story progresses. So you start as like a nature photographer, and then it turns into a war, and so that as a whole, like, this like capturing camera pictures and stuff like that, and it looked cool. It looked really pretty, so I'll play that one. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. But just kind of, now we're kind of like on the end. Do you want to talk about like how long we played and some achievements and stuff like that?
I mean, it has a bunch of crap that stops us from getting a 1K, which is fine, because I was really playing this for the story. I played 15 hours. I got, 34 of the 40 achievements. What I some things I'm surprised I didn't. Well, some things I'm not surprised. So I didn't complete all East Ocean puzzles without any mistakes.
I didn't get that one either.
Complete the game without failing once. I did the Stories of Failure instead. The Tales of Failure.
I think I got that too because I didn't get. You have to get 3 Tales of Failure. I only got 2. I never got the 3rd one.
But it still negates that other achievement. Complete the game without resonating with the wrong star song.
I did that. I messed up somehow. I guess maybe
this. These ones I didn't get.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah. I
die twice in a playthrough. I don't remember. Do you know how you die?
Yeah, you can kill yourself in like certain spots, like purposely run out of oxygen or stay inside one of the because you get that weird timer. Occasionally, when you're done with a lumen cave and it's like it's blowing up,
blows up.
You can just stay in there and die.
Run out of fuel twice,
or if you run out of armor during like a solar flare and guns.
And the number one thing that keeps us from 1K-ing games, besides difficulty, is complete the game in 8 hours. Yeah. Like I said, my playthrough, my casual, just enjoying the game playthrough, was 15 hours.
I was 14 hours 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's not something that normally happens where I play something faster than you, but I think I got to the ending. Oh yeah, I think I beat the game faster than you did, and I was like, hey, you want to go here to try to make sure you get, I think I gave you a couple of extra
tips on the
end to try to get you through it a little quicker.
Yeah.
But like it was a cool over, it's February 4th is when I got my first achievement, and I got my last achievement on February 9th. So across 5 days was 14 hours.
We had 2 weeks from Game Pass to get knocked out.
But I enjoyed the run. I like the world. I would definitely watch an anime or it would be a really cool live action TV show because the special effects wouldn't have to be super crazy.
Yeah, it's not that terribly crazy. Man.
You have, you know, build some, you know, janky sets and filled with like half cave, half metal. And then you kind of, you know, build like 10 of them and just interlock.
I think something selling this many copies or downloading this many copies, somebody, Netflix or Amazon or somebody would be like,
we jump on
interested.
It.
Interested. We've had much worse things made.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh. What, another cop show? Another freaking doctor drama? Good Lord. There's a dime a dozen of those. And they're putting, I think there's another stupid cop drama about to come out starring.
There's one that I'm going to at least watch the first episode out of curiosity is a doctor show where the doctor works on a cruise ship. I was like, how long could this go? Me and Jessica, while I was making fun of it, for all I know, it's probably good. But I saw the first episode, the premiere on Hulu. We're getting off the weeds here. But yeah, I don't even remember what it's called.
Was it a comedy or was it like a genuine?
I don't know. I think it's a drama. But the dude, he's a doctor on a cruise ship. I was like, come on.
Well, you got to think how many people go through a cruise ship. You know, old people, young people. And
there's no telling. But anyway. I don't have I have a number thought up. I don't have a specific rating.
Take a beat. Think about it. Think about everything we spoke about.
Well, go do yours then. You probably got yours pre-written down. I'm getting progressively worse about taking notes. And because I said before every episode, I realize that I hate pausing games to take notes. It's so irritating to me. I've been trying on certain games, but this was not one of them. And part of notes is having a rating ready at the end of it. A joke rating, I guess you would say.
Yeah. For me, I enjoyed, I think, everything. It got a little heavy-handed on near the end. And the fact that I didn't have to play the other games and I wasn't entirely lost. And as I was played through, I was able to get the context clues. I'm sure there's probably some stuff that I was like, I don't remember what that is, but it wasn't important enough for it to affect, you know, overall gameplay. I liked being able to see these random friendships develop and stuff like that between him and Bones and the fact that Remy hated him forever, but then seeing Remy and her love dove in the emails and everything. But it was an enjoyable experience, and it was only, like I said, 14 hours and me being lackadaisical. If you were really trying to get it, you know, you might be able to knock it out a little faster. But I'm going to give it 8 songs through time out of 10.
Dang, that's kind of what I was thinking of doing.
No.
Well, I mean, it's boring. We had the same kind of rating, but I thought like for the game, what it was and how much we enjoyed, an 8 is a pretty solid number.
It's solid.
You literally stole the thing I was going to say. The only thing I thought I had was Echoes Through Time or Songs Through Time, because that's a pretty cool thing
happens. And the fact that they establish it so early on.
Yeah, and you don't think about it again until
you're like, that's a weird.
But then they do it in the end.
Gobbledygook thing, and then they, it's probably.
Yeah, so. I mean,
you can say Lumen Caves, or you can do Echoes Through Time.
That's
matter.
Dumb. But anyway, that's me and Steve have done that. We both agree it's a good game that you should definitely be looking at. I'm going to be looking at the rest of the franchise for sure, and finding the ways to play the rest of the franchise, and looking forward to the next game for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Go play it. It was on Game Pass. I don't know what it costs. Normally it costs... Oof. Okay. The full Bloom Edition is $24.99. We hate doing this because we want developers to make money, but that sounds steep to me. But
I mean, we had a guide. And even with the guide, we got through it in 15 hours.
Yeah, you can place it multiple times and do different stuff. Yeah,
$20 is perfectly reasonable. And for people who want to use the guide, people who don't want to use the guide, you can experience it. And it's fully voice acted in Japanese and Mandarin. So, you know, and it's a rich world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could definitely get lost. And then, like, we did a speed run thing through, you know, so you could take your time and live in that world. But $20, I mean, I'll, you know, we're frugal, always find it on sale. But I'd say it's definitely worth $20 for sure. $24.99, you know, but you know, mm-hmm. 20 seems like a good solid number.
Yeah. So with that said, episode 125 is next. I mentioned at the beginning of the game, beginning of the podcast, it'll be a episode where Brian's going to join us and talk about something we've played together on co-op endeavors. It's going to be Monster Hunter Rise, which we played for a good chunk of time. We'll share more of our thoughts about the game. We didn't actually play it all the way through. We put a lot of time, you know, Monster Hunter games, you can put in a lot of time and kind of get nowhere in them. So we kind of did that. But anyway, so if you watched any of our streams or anything like that, or have experiences of Monster Hunter Rise, you would like to share, you know, just write into us, email or any of the social medias. Nobody ever writes in. We have listeners that just don't want to talk to us, which is perfectly fine, I guess. But keep listening if you want to. But if you have something to share with that particular game or with that stream or anything like that, just holler us, let us know, and we'll share it on the podcast. That said, that's really all I have. I got to get to my stuff. Want to thank... Oh, God, I wasn't ready.
This is not me wasting time. Hear me
clicking around frantically on my mouse. I want to thank Jared and the guys of Emerge for letting us use Letting Go for the podcast. It's awesome. Of course, it's, I always say sometimes the best part of the podcast. Emerge is definitely touring, have a lot more tour dates. Every time we talk about them, they have even more tour dates than last time, so they're really getting out there. Should be getting new music soon. Follow them on social media, follow them on Spotify, buy merch, go to the shows, tell them Drew and Blake from Lockstock sent them. Jared will be super stoked to hear that. I'm probably going to try to get, you know, without making too strong of promises, I'm probably gonna, episode 130, I'm probably going to have Jared come back on the podcast.
He's been wanting to come back.
All the music they've been doing and the tours and stuff like that. It'd be a pretty fun episode.
That one might be entirely music based, but we'll probably play something. We'll probably be a video.
Oh, we'll talk about games. We probably won't take the time to make him play a game with us or anything, but we'll talk about whatever games he's been playing. Well, thanks to Mladen Markovic, aka Devious Pixel, for the art for the podcast, all the fun art we get, and all the new art and all the stuff we give him. It's a great guy. If you want to hear more from him, I think it's like episode 70.
He
came on the podcast. We talked about art and video games and stuff like that. It's a great episode. He's a great guy. Always want to thank Brian for taking the time out of his day when he could be playing games to be editing a podcast about games that he didn't play. We definitely appreciate him taking the time to do that, so I don't have to do that.
But I think more than once he's like, man, I really want to play that game you guys talked about. And he's like, you talked to me.
I think he's bought a couple of games because of the podcast, which is kind of what we'd want from people to do.
I'd love the games.
I mean, you guys are idiots, but that game sounded kind of cool. Like, write that to us. We don't care. That's there. The last thing, I'm going to soft announce it, I guess. We talk about Clyde's YouTube show, Nintendo Is Not Your Friend, or It's Not Your Friend. It's currently the current thing is Nintendo. He's gonna jump from Nintendo to other things.
I think the next episode is his last Nintendo one.
Possibly. So we recorded something to be on that episode. I don't want to spoil anything, but so if you haven't been watching his videos, you should watch his videos. They're awesome anyway. But if you're curious to hear us do something outside of this podcast, me and Blake have recorded something separately for him. He gave us a little script and fun stuff like that. Not going to spoil anything about what we're saying, but me and Blake do appear in the next episode. I don't want to say what it's about. I'm not spoiling anything for him, but me and Blake will be appearing in the next episode of Nintendo It's Not Your Friend. But go watch all the episodes in that of series. It's been really, really good.
Very insightful.
It's really fun. Really funny. I will... I'm going to share an anecdote later about after the episode comes out. He sent us a video explaining what he wanted us to do for his video. And there's a really funny moment, unintentionally funny moment in that video. Wish I could share that video. I don't know if he'd want us to or
no,
not.
No, it's not.
But it was so... I'll ask him and maybe we can add it to our Patreon or something like that. I forgot to mention on the beginning of the Patreon stuff too as well. Don't forget, as of this recording and other stuff too, Blake is still releasing his playthrough of still unedited because he hadn't had the time to really kind of figure out what he wants to do with it. But you have Blake's playthrough of RoboCop Rogue City also hitting the Patreon until we decide what to do with it and put it out on YouTube eventually. So that's always there too. Forgot to mention that on the front end for the Patreon, but that's there. But anyway, that's all I got. Come to the Twitch streams. And we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about Monster Hunter Rise.
With our podcast editor / cousin / third host. With that being said, we do have a brother podcast called Suspension of Disbelief. It spawned off this one that allows me and our good buddy Steve, and occasionally Drew when he's awake, to talk about semi-surprise one another with movies that we don't discuss until we record. And we go through a plethora of genre and movies, just whatever we feel like.
Yeah.
We did celebrate our 50th episode with a really cool 50th anniversary of a movie. So I think that was kind of cool.
It's releasing to, we don't know time, but we're recording this on the day that episode comes out. Episode 50 of that podcast is out.
So it's really cool. And that was from a listener. They chimed in on the 50th episode for a cool 50th anniversary of a movie, and it was really cool to hear from them. I also have a self-published short story called They Come This Night on Amazon. If you are a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, it's free for you. If you're not, I think it's just $1. Please go check that out. Rate that, review that. It's really cool. I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of it, actually. With that being said, I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.